Now, friends, we read together in God's Word, first of all in the Scriptures of the Old Testament, to remind ourselves how the ancient people of Israel looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, who would show God to His people and lead His people on to a great day when justice and peace would rule upon the earth. This is from the prophet Isaiah at chapter 9 and at verse 2, where we read, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And we turn to the Scriptures of the New Testament to read of the circumstances in which Jesus was born. Matthew chapter 1 at verse 18, where we read this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we remember on that momentous occasion that your word was strong to impart truth to men at their work and to direct them to the place where your Son had been born. And we pray that tonight that same word, strong through the centuries, strong through the millennia, would connect with all our minds and hearts to clarify our vision of Jesus and all that he is, and to lead us forward in faith. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, friends, the year that has passed has been a very special one for myself and the rest of my family, because earlier on this year I was, by the grace of God, able to celebrate 25 years as the minister of this parish church. It's been an opportunity for me to look back on the blessings that I've experienced during that time. It's also been an opportunity for me to face some of the mistakes that have been made, and also to consider some of the challenging times that I've been through personally and what I've learned through them about myself and about the God that I serve. One of the challenging times that very often comes back to me, especially at this time of year, was the very first watch night service that I conducted here as the minister of St. Paul's. Because just a few days earlier, Pan Am Flight 103 exploded over Lockerbie with the loss of 243 lives and 11 people on the ground. It was a devastating moment for the whole nation. It was very much on the minds of people who gathered here on that night 25 years ago. And foremost, I think, in many people's thoughts was the fact that it was made worse because of the time of year in which it had happened. We all know that bad things are not supposed to happen at Christmas time. Well, there's no good time for things like that to happen. Let me make that clear. But there is a sense in which, when it happens at this time of the year, we have, alongside the tragedy that we're facing, we have, alongside the personal difficulties that we might be going through, we have, alongside all of that, the knowledge that God has sent us a sign in the birth of His Son amongst us. A sign which assures us that He is with us, that He is present with us in every circumstance that we are called to go through in our lives. And that's made plain for us in this name that the Messiah was given by the people of Israel. Remember in the reading that we shared from the Gospel according to Matthew, we're told that everything that happened was a fulfillment of what the prophets had been preaching down through the centuries, and in particular at this moment, the prophet Isaiah was in people's minds because he had said, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. That is the great assurance that we have as we celebrate Christmas time. God is with us. He is a God who is involved with us. When we think about the circumstances of Jesus' birth, we have to recognize that this was a very challenging time for Mary and Joseph. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. She fell pregnant, and Joseph was not the father. Mary was in big trouble. The consequences for a woman in her circumstances and the culture that she belonged to could be quite devastating. And Joseph is faced with this agonizing decision. If it's all made public, then Mary will be disgraced, or even worse. And so he goes through this period of anxious thought before he decides that he'll just do it quietly and hope for the best. But then he receives this assurance that in the midst of this messy set of circumstances, God is actually involved. And he is working out his purpose through these circumstances. The angel comes to Joseph in a dream and says, look, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is being conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She's going to give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This story is going way beyond the lives of two wee people called Mary and Joseph. Beneath the painful surface of their circumstances, there is a deeper story which is working out for the good of all humankind. Now, I'm not going to say to you tonight that it's easy to get to the purpose of every bad thing that happens to us. I don't know the reasons why. Even after 31 years in the ministry, I'm living with a lot of questions why. But tonight, I'm thankful that I'm still gripped by this story of a God who is involved, a God who didn't want people to be living with vague notions of God, but a God who became one of us in order to show us what he is like. A God who shared our life from the moment of conception to his painful death on the cross. A God who wants to assure us that he's not just the God for the days of celebration, but the God who is alongside us, even in the darkest and most difficult challenge that we've ever faced. A colleague and friend of mine in the ministry is a very talented songwriter and singer. He wrote a song which he sang for the first time at the Billy Graham Crusade in Glasgow in 1991. And there's a chorus that never fails to touch me in the depths, which says, his cross is still there, even after all these years. His cross is still there, even after all these years. The assurance to us that our God is with us. He is involved, even in the most dark of experiences. And not just involved, but he is a God who makes a difference. Remember what the angel said to Joseph concerning this baby who was to be born. You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means the one who saves. And that was the purpose of the cross. That's why Jesus came into this world, to make it possible for us to live close to God in this life, and to be able to live closer to him in the life to come. That's what Christians believe about the cross. Jesus paid the price for our sin, so that we could be close to God now and through all eternity. The problem we have nowadays, well, not just nowadays, the problem that we've always had as members of the human family is that we just don't take sin very seriously. Nobody has the right to tell us how to behave. Nobody has the right to say what is right and what is wrong. I'll make up my own mind about that. Isn't that the attitude? And so the whole issue of personal morality becomes very confusing. But as a retired colleague that I bumped into not so long ago said to me, in what is now a faltering voice, but which carries a great depth of conviction, he says, God is not confused. And who can be in any doubt when we read the story of this God, that there are certain attitudes which we can adopt and certain patterns of behavior which we can follow which are a block to God and need to be dealt with. You know, there were two occasions when Jesus cried, when he wept. Once was when he stood at the tomb of his friend. The other occasion was when he contemplated the resistance of his people in Israel against God. He was going into Jerusalem for the last time in the last week of his life. And as he considered the history of Jerusalem and how they had hardened their hearts against God, he wept. If only you knew what would bring you peace. Turning wholeheartedly to God, Jesus said. But you're not giving God a chance. But you know, despite that, friends, despite the resistance that we all put up to God in our lives, he never gives up. And that's a great encouragement to me as I stand in my 25th watch night service tonight. He's not just the God who is present with us. He's the God who can make a difference as he deals with the darkness in people's lives and enables them to go forward with a greater sense of hope. You know, I'm privileged to have friends who at one time, in the eyes of the rest of the world, were probably the lowest of the low. Their lives had been wrecked by drugs, by alcohol. As a consequence of that, they got themselves involved in criminal activity. But then someone told them the story of this God who never gives up. This God who can deal with the darkness in our lives. This God who came down to our level in order to raise us up to his level. I was at a Bible study a few weeks ago, studying God's word with people with addiction problems. And at the end of the night, I was faced with this young man who was just the most broken individual I think that I have ever met because of his experiences, because of his addiction. And what can I do at a human level when I'm faced with this? All I can do is lean back on this great resource in which I've placed my faith, and which Ian White sings about. The cross is still there. Even after all these years, calling to me, calling to you, calling to everyone to turn and believe. The God who's involved, the God who makes a difference, and the God who goes before us. Joseph was a good man. Joseph did what God required of him, and he stepped out in faith after his experience, knowing that something was unfolding here which was way beyond his expectation or his understanding. God was going before him and his plan was unfolding for a better humanity, which would be completed at a day sometime in the future. You know, this year was significant also, friends, because it was the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's great speech, the I Have a Dream speech, it's called, when he stood at the Washington Memorial and shared with the nation and the world his great faith that one day the justice of God would come down in the midst of the American people. But there's another speech that he made, which I think is even greater, because it was his last speech, which he made in Memphis the night before he was assassinated. And in that speech, he talks about the hardships that the civil rights movement had gone through. And he talks about the difficult days that lay ahead of them all. But he speaks also of this great vision that one day the justice of God would be revealed. And all the work and all the prayers would be seen to be worthwhile. And he ends his speech, the last words that he spoke in public, by saying, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." And that is the vision that this Christ child brings to us tonight, friends. It's a vision of our God marching on. It's a vision of the truth of our God marching on until that day when He returns to this earth, as He has promised to do. And on that day, everything that has ever made us cry will be evacuated from creation and human experience. That is the promise that the Christ child brings to us tonight. And you can be part of that. You can be part of this great plan. I'm not asking you just to wait patiently for things to happen. The gospel has an urgency about it which says that we should be living now as people who belong to this future kingdom. A people who have been changed. A people who live according to eternal values, not the values of the world. A people who are marching to the beat of an eternal drummer. A people who are giving, even as we have received from our God and Father. The cross is still there to show us how important service is to our God. The God who is with us, the God who makes a difference, the God who transforms our lives. I don't know if you've noticed the jingle on BBC at the moment, when they're talking about the programs that are coming to us over the Christmas period. It was bothering me for a while because I recognised the tune but couldn't quite place it, and then it suddenly dawned on me. It's from Bugsy Malone. And the song is, "You give a little love and it all comes back to you. You're going to be remembered for the things that you say and do." Our life of giving begins when we trust this God who is revealed to us in the baby of Bethlehem. A God who's involved. A God who can make a difference. A God who's going before us to build His kingdom. And is calling to you, calling to me, calling to everyone to turn and believe. Let us pray. God our Father, we ask that in the quietness of this hour, and as we consider the priceless, eternal gift of your Son, that you would reach down into the depths of our being and stir our love for Him and our commitment to follow in His ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.